Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They say patience is a virtue. Amen to that. Because I don't know about you, but mine, I might be missing that virtue. First, I want to begin with a bit of a silly example of how poor my patience is. It's Christmas time almost, right? For some of you, maybe not all of you, but some of you, presents are already under the tree, right? Patience. For me, it's not hard to wait to open my gift. The hard part for me is if I have purchased a gift and I've put it in the box and I've wrapped it and it's under there ready for that person, I'm antsy for them to open it. It's already there. Why can't they just have it now? Why do we have to wait 2 more weeks? That's a silly but true example. You can ask my wife. Waiting even for someone else to open their gift. Patience. James tells us. It's obvious in our short reading today that this is the idea. Be patient, he says, until the coming of the Lord. He mentions a farmer. I know some of you are. I am far from being a farmer. I don't think I can grow about anything. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. I think that part of being a farmer is being patient. Now, I wonder how much of that, though, how much easier it might be. Because you know, as a farmer, my parents happen to be farmers, there's the planting season and then there's the reaping season. You know, there's a rough amount of time and you have a general idea. It's going to be about then. 2 minutes, right? As hard as it might be for us to wait 2 minutes for this or that, whether it's a sticker or a cookie or whatever else you might be waiting for, it does help, I think, to know that there's about this much time left. It reminds me of a time in my own life that I think has a similar dynamic. Very different from farming. I'm stating that explicitly, but I think a similar dynamic. When my wife and I were having children, you know that there's a child coming, and you have a pretty good idea of about when it's coming, right? Generally, God does these things in about the same amount of time each time. And yet, how hard it is to wait, especially to wait patiently, especially if you are the one carrying that child. I know you are ready, and being patient is not exactly an easy thing. Those are my examples, just a few of them. Where do you struggle with impatience? Stores, restaurants. As you're going from one place to the next, you think that you can pop from there into that one and back out, and I still have time then to get over there as well and do that thing, but my food took 5 minutes longer than I expected it to take, right? Patience. And don't mention the traffic trying to get from one place to the other, because if the cars would just part like the Red Sea, I would make it to my place on time. Or if there wasn't a marathon, I heard about something like that this morning. Patience with yourself. How many of you struggle being patient with your own abilities? The speed at which you're able to do things. The learning or growth that you are trying to endure. patience with others. Children, let's not go there. Patience with our children. Patience with our parents, siblings, coworkers. Is that where it's hardest for you? Or what about patience with God? In a way, I think that's what James is saying here. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. A patience with God, so to speak. We know He's coming, but it's hard when we don't know when. It's hard when we don't have a say. It's hard when we simply have to wait, and on top of that, we're told to wait patiently. Why do we need this word from James today? On the one hand, because it's hard. But I think also we need to be told this. We need to be encouraged to be patient in our waiting for the Lord because we are living in this in-between time. Because there's another reminder that goes along with this. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you may have a sense of where I'm going here. That we live in between Jesus' two advents. His first coming, what we'll celebrate again at Christmas, and His second coming, as James speaks of here, and we look forward to. But being patient, I believe, has to do with both. On the one hand, Jesus has come. And when we remember this, when we dwell on this, when we keep this not just in the back of our minds, but even in the forefront of our minds, it allows us to be more patient for His second coming. Because when Jesus came the first time, He accomplished significant things. Our salvation is complete. He has done all that was necessary in that first coming as He went to the cross, died for you and for me and for the whole world, and rose again on the third day. As He said, it is finished. Your salvation and mine. Already here and now, we are receiving the benefits of His first coming. Our forgiveness for our sins, washed clean. Already we have been made right with God, our Heavenly Father. Already we are His, and we walk with Him daily. And so even though we are looking forward to His return, and waiting for that can be hard, when we consider what Jesus has done, what He has accomplished, what is already yours and mine now, today, I believe that gives us a little bit more of an ability to be patient for what is to come. So that's part of it. James speaks to the other half, His second coming. Again, it is a certainty, it is a fact. He doesn't ask the question if, but just simply states, until the coming of the Lord. But also he adds to this, he gives us two brief pictures. We may not know the exact timing, but James does remind us, you also, verse 8, be patient, establish or strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's close by. It's near. It's soon. I know those are all relative terms, and that, again, can make it difficult for us. But at least we have this reminder that at least in God's eyes, in God's perspective, it is near. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Again, another visual for us that he is right there, that the time is soon. And so both, because of what Jesus has done already for you and me, and because his promise to return is coming soon, we can be patient. And yet I know it's not easy. James knows it's not easy. Because regardless of how short or how long the in-between time is, we're still living in the in-between. We're waiting for 30 more seconds, or a minute and a half, or maybe longer. And waiting is hard. And then James adds to it what you and I already know to be true, but he puts it into words. It's not just waiting and trying to wait patiently for the Lord, but also dealing with suffering. As an example of suffering and patience, James says, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. See, this in-between time, yes, there's the waiting aspect, but then you add to that the complications, the difficulties, the challenges of life, and in particular, specific sufferings that you or I may be enduring. It makes waiting patiently that much harder. And yet, James encourages us because we're not the first ones who have had to wait, be patient, and suffer. The prophets, he mentions first. Even though the prophets lived long before Jesus' first and second advent, I think there's a sense here that they also could resonate with this in-between feeling, living in between the times. Because, well, what did the prophets do? They were those who brought the Word of God to the people. And how many prophets could we come up with? How many of them could we name and say, ah, at this time, at this day, they brought this word of the Lord to the people. This is what's going to happen. This is either your fate or this is the thing that God will do for you. And then what did they have to do? Wait. And wait. And wait a little bit longer. Because in some instances, sure, that happened pretty quickly, but in some instances, it took a few days or a few months, a few years or decades. And then when we consider those prophecies that are fulfilled only in the coming of Jesus, maybe for some, they waited a few millennia. Whew. And it's not like their life was perfectly easy and they just got to, you know, sit in the corner on a chair and wait for these things to come about. Sometimes the prophets were running for their lives after proclaiming these messages. Sometimes enduring hardship and ridicule. They know what it's like. And yet, they saw the fulfillment. At least some of them. And the others came in due time. Because God is true to His Word. When He promises something, He keeps His promise. The prophets knew this. And they waited. Behold, James continues, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. Come on, James, you went there? I had a whole list of things that I was going to say about how hard my life is, and now you brought up Job. I know some of you deal with things. But I don't think we really want to compare. Because when we play the comparing game, we come across someone like Job, who lost, my summarized version, just about everything. Dealt with it for a while, had friends who thought they were trying to help but were not helpful. And yet, what does the Lord eventually do for Job? After putting Job back in his place, then eventually God restores to him many, if not all, of these things that are taken away. Steadfastness. Did Job remain patiently steadfast? I'm not so sure. And yet the Lord took care of him. The Lord provided for him. The Lord even restored many things for him. But I think this phrase that James ends with might be key for us today. Because as much of an encouragement we have from James's words, from these other examples, I think he ends with a crucial reminder. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. See, I think most importantly, God has been patient with you and me. As much as our patience comes and goes, as faithful to Him as we may be or fail to be, God is compassionate and merciful. He is patient and, might I add, steadfast in His love and faithfulness to us. Like the father of the prodigal son. As the son takes a third of his property, runs off, squanders it, the father remains and waits patiently, hoping, looking, anticipating for the son to return. And when he does, welcomes him, runs to him, hugs him, kisses him with joy that his son has returned. God is patient with you and me. And notice not just the younger son in that parable, but also the older son. The one who stubbornly thinks he's always done things right and always been there, doesn't want to join in the party because, well, I've never gotten my own party. And yet, what does the father do? Goes out to him, entreats him, invites him patiently to come back in as well. This is God toward you and me. This is God toward Job, even when he forgot all that God had done for him. This is God's compassion and mercy and patience on his people, the people that the prophets spoke to time and time again after idolatry. God is patient with them and God is patient with you and me. As we fail, as we run away, as we rebel, as we squander, God continues to bring us back, forgiving time and time again. And this is God's desire for every single person He has ever made. God wants them to know, as you and I know, what He has done in His Son Jesus Christ. His first coming, His first advent, His death and resurrection for all people, as well as His promised return. And it's because of these things and because of God's patience with us in the meantime that James tells us, be patient with one another. Be patient with God, in a sense. Maybe the better way of saying it is trust. Trust that He will keep His promises as He always has to you and me, so He will keep this promise that Jesus will come again. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.